mornings, I'm Chris Oaks, and coming up today, Ohio has some of the hottest real estate markets in the country, according to a new report. What buyers and sellers need to know heading into the traditionally challenging months of fall and winter. Also this morning, as if all the programs and options for health care coverage weren't confusing enough already, those who are eligible for both Medicare and Medicaid have the additional choice of selecting something called a dual special needs plan. We'll explain. And you want to take Halloween to the next level? Airbnb is offering fans the chance to experience Beetlejuice in the flesh, so to speak, if you dare. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Wednesday, October 30th, 2024. So among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, here is something for Halloween. If you live in New York State, your boss is likely already scary enough without even a costume for Halloween. That is the takeaway from a new survey, which looks at reviews of senior management figures on employment website Glassdoor. So they ranked the states with the scariest bosses according to reviews of senior management on the employment website Glassdoor. All right, the scariest bosses. And the Empire State, New York, comes in first. The world's scariest bosses. So why do I even mention it? Because obviously we're not in New York. Well, because New Mexico is number two, Pennsylvania number three, Nevada and Michigan rounding out the top five. And then comes New Jersey, Ohio, Arizona, Oregon, and Wisconsin in the top 10. So seventh most scary bosses, seventh scariest bosses in the country are in the state of Ohio. For kinder, gentler bosses, you'll want to head to Alaska, Wyoming, or Utah, according to the data. So this is analysis of actual reviews of senior management figures on the Glassdoor employment website. Ohio, seventh scariest bosses in the country. If you are a boss, take note of this. This is what your employees believe. That is the... By the way, speaking of Halloween, I thought this was kind of interesting. More than 60%, a new Real Clear Opinion Research poll says more than 60% of Americans say they believe in ghosts, but less than half believe in witches. I don't know. I just thought that was weird. We believe in ghosts, but not in witches. I know they don't necessarily go together, but I would think if you believed in one, you would believe in the other. I don't know, but anyway. A couple of other items here on the list of the first things that you need to know this morning. The 2024 presidential election, now less than a week away. Hopefully, a week from now, we will know who the next president will be. And We may or may not like it, depending on which way it goes on election day. But hopefully, by next Wednesday, a week from today, we will know the results. And it cannot come soon enough for a lot of Americans. The 2024 election cycle is stressing us out. And experts say the emotional reactions transcend generalized anxiety. Hyperpartisanship, political violence, and the overwhelming number of election political advertisement have all had measurable health effects, including, and this is according to an American University poll that was published last month, 32% of Americans between the ages of 18 to 34 are feeling both nervous and scared about the upcoming election. Other maladies being credited or blamed in the election, high levels of stress-related hormones in the body. They say The stress is releasing high levels of stress-related hormones in the body, leading to heart disease, weight gain, and diabetes. Wow. Kaiser Permanente Health found that 5 days after the 2020 election, hospitalizations for heart attacks, strokes, and heart failure were up 17%. And so basically, when they're looking at those numbers and thinking that the stress levels of Americans are even higher for this election. So 5 days, that's an amazing statistic. 5 days after the 2020 election, hospitalizations for heart attack, stroke, and heart failure were up 17%. And they believe this election may be just as bad or worse by the time the dust settles. So everybody take a collective deep breath. We'll get through it. Just a few more days to go. By the way, speaking of the election, vice presidential candidate and Ohio Senator J.D. Vance going to sit down today for an interview on the Joe Rogan podcast. This, of course, follows Mr. Rogan's recent 3-hour discussion with former President Donald Trump, which has been viewed over 37 million times on YouTube, to say nothing of the audio podcast streams. Rogan posted on X he is also in talks with the Kamala Harris campaign on doing an interview with her as well. He said his sincere wish is to, quote, just have a nice conversation and get to know her as a human being, unquote. He went on to add, I really hope we can make it happen. So stay tuned, but it appears J.D. Vance going to sit down with Joe Rogan today if you are interested in that. The latest development in the... Somebody posted yesterday on Facebook, shared this, and I thought it was an interesting insight. You know, 15 years ago, Joe Rogan was the host of Fear Factor, and Donald Trump was the host of The Apprentice. And so if you'd have said 15 years ago that a conversation between the hosts of Fear Factor and The Apprentice would be the top political event of the 2024 election cycle, I don't think anyone would have believed you. But here we are. And a friend of mine said, you know, in the scene in Back to the Future where Marty tells Doc Brown that Ronald Reagan was president in 1985, and he reacts, the actor? You're crazy. Now I get it. Now I understand why what Doc Brown's reaction was all about. It's, oh, you're crazy. But here we are. Let's see. And a couple of other items among the first things that you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. This seems like it should go without saying, but apparently we needed a research study for this. And it is research out of Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, published in the journal JAMA Pediatrics. They say cannabis exposure during pregnancy is associated with poorer thinking skills and aggressive behavior in children. It's long been known that you shouldn't use tobacco products while you are pregnant or nursing. They say don't, you know, quit smoking while you're pregnant, right? But apparently some expecting mothers are using marijuana to curb stress and morning sickness. And this, doctors say, is not recommended. Surprise, surprise. Researchers found that, apparently we have to be told this, researchers found that kids exposed to cannabis in the womb had trouble controlling impulses, and paying attention. I'm sorry, what was I saying? I wasn't paying attention. That was lead researcher Sarah Keim from Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus says, our findings were not surprising. They actually confirm and expand on longstanding evidence from previous research. Although cannabis is a natural product, there are still many risks to using it during pregnancy. So don't do that. That's the message there. And here is an interesting story. Are you worried about losing your job to AI? Believe it or not, according to some experts, it's already happening. There's a cheery story to hear first thing in the morning. They have a name for this trend, silent firing. Remember quiet quitting in the during the pandemic and all of that? This is silent firing. It's when an employer makes a person's job so hard that the employee just decides to quit. And then those jobs are replaced by AI. George Kalis, who's the CEO of Prospero.ai, believes that this is the real reason why Amazon is forcing employees to come to the office, which has been one of the big stories the past month or so, several weeks ago. Amazon said employees have to return to the office. It's the end of remote work. The best way to decrease retention while saving on severance would be to remove remote work, he said. Some experts don't believe that many jobs can be replaced by AI yet. MIT professor Darren Acemoglu, who's an economist, says only about 5% of jobs can be replaced or significantly replaced by AI right now. And in the coming decade, it's only about 5%. A lot of money is going to be wasted, he said. You're not going to get an economic revolution out of that 5%. But they have a name for it. It's called silent firing, and some people believe that it is already happening. And if you are worried about losing your job to AI, there, I guess, is a reason to be worried. But the experts disagree on just how soon that might happen. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzz... I know, it's a cheery little story to start your morning. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchak. Your WTOL 11 weather, sunny and windy today with a high around 80, partly cloudy, windy tonight, a low in the mid-60s. Findlay Police Chief James Mathias issued a statement on the officer-involved shooting that happened at Bernard Park on Monday night in which a juvenile died. The chief says his thoughts and prayers go out to all that were involved and for the loss of life. He says a handgun was recovered on the scene and he's aware of comments, assumptions, and misinformation spreading on social media. The chief says they're working closely with the County Prosecutor's Office and the Ohio Bureau of Criminal Investigation on releasing body camera footage in the near future. Get more on the chief's comments on this officer-involved shooting and this story on our website. State officials say they're focused on ensuring that everyone's vote is secure, whether you're voting early or on Election Day, November 5th.
Ohio Secretary of State says there are multiple security steps in place to prevent hacking and tampering with voting machines.
They're tested before each election through a full battery of tests called the Logic and Accuracy Test by Democratic and Republican technical experts. But that's not the final answer either. We go back and count the paper, and we compare the electronic results and the paper results side by side, and the two have to reconcile.
Polls are open every day until this Sunday, November 3rd. Head to your county Board of Elections office.
ONN's Tracy Townsend reporting. The Hancock County Veterans Service Office says the upcoming Veterans Empowerment Fall Fair will provide an opportunity for area veterans and their families to learn about local resources, helpful organizations, and employment opportunities. It'll be held on Saturday on the Findlay campus of Owens Community College from 10 to 2. A free lunch will be provided. Get more details about this Veterans Empowerment Fall Fair in the story on our website. The City of Findlay's 2024 Request a Tree program has concluded. A total of 374 trees were planted on more than 200 properties, thanks to the partnership of the Findlay Shade Tree Commission and the Public Works Department. The longtime Request a Tree program will return in the spring. Get more details about it in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
So now our cover story this morning. Home prices nationally hit a new record at the end of the summer, according to the latest data. And kind of an interesting new report crossed my desk yesterday, which shows that Ohio has some of the hottest real estate markets in the country. Joining us to discuss is Brian Witta, Coldwell Banker, Flag City Realty here in town. Brian, thanks very much for dropping by.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
So we mentioned the new record highs for home prices. This is the Case-Shiller Home Price Index, which was out yesterday. And this is a composite, for those who don't know, this is a composite of the 20 largest markets in the U.S. Closest ones to us would be Cleveland and Detroit that are included in that composite. So How does that compare to what we are seeing locally? Because obviously, Northwest Ohio, Findlay, Northwest Ohio, really not represented in that composite index.
Well, but we got slighted because we're a good market.
would it be about the same? Are you seeing continued?
Findlay is still a pretty hot market. Even when I look at the county, it's a hot market. If I compare some of the cities that were in that report to where Findlay is, we really are not that far different from those areas. If I look at Defiance or Ashland, they're a little bit of an outlier with their days on market. They're pretty quick, but we're really not. We're not that different.
Let me go back and talk about that because you're referencing the other report. This was an analysis of Realtor.com data that was done by Premier Online Marketing, an online marketing firm. And they found, again, those Ohio cities, number of Ohio cities, among the hottest in the country. And what I thought was interesting is that when we say cities, we're talking about smaller cities. Fremont, number two, Fremont, Ohio, tied for number two in the country in terms of length of time on market. You referenced Defiance and Ashland. They were tied for number three. Mm-hmm. Then you've got Springfield at number five, other Ohio cities on that list. Marion, Bucyrus, Van Wert, Urbana, Tiffin, all in the top 50. So all around us. And that was the question that I'm curious. What makes these cities, particularly in Northwest Ohio, so hot?
Well, you and I had a little bit of conversation off the air about ways people are working remotely now. Mm-hmm. And that is a big consumer behavior that is changing the way people look at where they live. They don't necessarily have to live in close proximity to a major corporation in an environment where you can work remotely. There are people that live right here in Findlay that work for the Ohio Department of Education in Columbus.
Yeah.
And without needing to make that commute every day, if you only need to commute 1 or 2 days a week, you can live closer to family. You can live where the amenities are. And let's be honest, Findlay has a lot of great things going for it. So why not want to live in a community like this?
The other advantage to living in smaller communities like the ones that are on the list here is the relatively affordable cost of entry to home ownership.
Absolutely. And so, one of the things I hear quite often, of course, I read these comments online, and maybe I shouldn't, but I read these comments online that says, rent is unaffordable in Findlay, Ohio. Home prices are unaffordable in Findlay, Ohio. If I look at median rent prices in Findlay and I compare them to some of these other communities, the median rent price in Findlay, Ohio right now is $1,200. But if I look at Fremont, it's $1,500. If I go to Bowling Green, it's $1,699. I go to Perrysburg, it's $2,500 a month.
Yeah.
So we really do have an affordable housing There is affordable housing in Findlay, just not the number of houses that we need.
That's the key.
And that's a national issue.
That's been a longstanding issue, and certainly one, as you point out, that is not unique to this country. I do wonder if that is something that's going to catch up with the real estate market as a whole, because generally, as everyone knows, you get into these more expensive homes by trading up over a process of time. You have an entry-level home, then you move up, then you maybe move up to a third home, and you build on the value of those homes each time. If there are not enough entry-level homes to start people on that path, is that going to catch up to us on down the line?
I always look at real estate as rungs on a ladder, to your point. Mm-hmm. And if folks are buying up, that does open up those lower level homes. Now, we are about 3 million units short currently for what we need nationally for inventory. Mm-hmm. And I've been told for years we're about 7 million units short on new construction starts across the country.
So that's a lot of again, you talk about the rungs of the ladder. If that first rung isn't there, it makes it harder to step onto that ladder in the first place. And you've got we've got a shortage. So that really is the biggest concern.
Right.
Which kind of cycles back to, as we mentioned, the Case-Shiller Home Price Index, which showed home prices at another record high, although it was kind of interesting. And again, these numbers were from August, so before mortgage rates started to creep down a little bit. So this is kind of lagging to where we are now. But the rate of growth had slowed a little bit in August because of high mortgage rates.
I can tell you I didn't experience that here in Findlay and within the county. The pace is still brisk, which is good. And so if you are someone who's looking at putting your home on the market, you can expect that you will have decent activity right now in this market. We are, our average, our median list price right now is $279,900. in Findlay, and it's $269.9 within the county itself. So that is quite reasonable when I compare us to bigger markets. And when I look nationally, Chris, the national median list price right now is in the upper threes. It's almost $400,000. Mm-hmm. So we are below the average.
Yeah, that affordability aspect that we were talking about earlier. One of the things that, and again, referencing the report of the hottest markets in terms of time on market, Ohio was ranked. I mean, I think there are more Ohio communities on that top 50 list than any other state.
We really have to look at the blessing we have in the state of Ohio. We are a business-friendly state. We really do well at promoting our local industry, and it is drawing people in. As we see growth in Central Ohio with Intel and some of the peripheral jobs that will come into communities like Findlay and Tiffin and some of those areas that aren't far from Columbus, that is going to draw people here to take advantage of what we have.
It is interesting because the population trends have Ohio actually losing population. It almost seems like these numbers would seem to suggest that there is a reversal of that.
I agree, and I've been watching the same numbers for years, and I see the same thing and scratch my head and try to figure out where they're saying we're losing people when we have numbers like this.
Now, all of this being said, again, the Case-Shiller numbers were from August. This report was looking at, you know, past sales. You know, spring and summer is the busy time. Yes. Traditionally in real estate, we're heading into what is traditionally a more challenging time for both buyers and sellers in the fall and winter. What do individuals need to know as we head into this time of year if they are in the market in the market either way?
Well, I would tell anyone, whether you're looking to purchase or looking to sell, we lost cadence in COVID. We lost that magical time of year when you should be on the market. Mm-hmm. And there are still properties that sell very well in the fall, very well in the winter. The difference is the number of buyers who are looking. And really, buyer behavior is driven by what's going on in their life. Are they trying to maintain a normal schedule with kids going to school and school activities?
Right.
Maybe they're not as focused on looking at a home.
Mm-hmm.
However, things are still selling in the fall. They still sell in the winter, just not at the same pace. So if you need to put your home on the market or you need to buy right now, you should not be fearful of doing that. It's all working with the right agent to guide you through that process.
And making sure that, and it's always the case, you know, putting your best foot forward in terms of, you know, marketing your home, you know, with things like staging and, you know, basic repairs and upgrades that may need to be done, become even more critical this time of year, do they not?
They really do. You're going to rely on the network of and the expertise of the agent you're working with to help guide you through that. Yeah. It's important.
Again, Brian Witta is with us, Coldwell Banker, Flag City, talking about this new report, a really fascinating report showing Ohio with some of the hottest real estate communities in the nation. Like you were alluding to, Findlay was not in the top 50, but not all that far away from some of those communities that were in the top 50, statistically speaking.
Not at all. We've got it going on here, Chris. It's a good place to be.
And again, were any of the numbers that we've seen, and we'll get more real estate numbers today. As a matter of fact, I think already this morning, the mortgage applications report and all of that is out. I haven't seen those numbers yet. Any surprises at all in any of the numbers that you've seen?
No, not at all. Whether I talk to mortgage folks or title agents, everyone seems to say the same thing. We are still healthy in the real estate market. Consumers should still be confident in the real estate market.
Very good to know. Brian Witta, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
You know, I am convinced that somewhere there is someone whose job it is to make sure that healthcare is as difficult to understand as possible. With all of the options, with all of the programs that are out there, it is so easy to get confused. But I am on a mission to make it a little bit easier to the extent that I can. And we've talked about like Medicare options, the Advantage plans, Part D changes, all of that. This morning, want to talk about something that is designed for those who qualify for both Medicare and Medicaid. And Chief Medical Officer of Government Programs at United Healthcare, Dr. Alex Biu, is with us this morning to help sort it out. This is something called a dual special needs plan. So tell us what this is and who qualifies.
That's right. And thanks for having me. Hopefully I can help you with that mission. So as you said, these dual special needs plans are for people who qualify for both Medicare and Medicaid. And the idea with these plans is really just that, to try to simplify and make it easier to manage the benefits of both of those programs to maximize somebody's ability to stay healthy. So this is really, these are programs focused on folks who qualify because of age, unique health needs, or income. And our special needs programs really focused on trying to make it, you know, easy, again, to manage your health. And we've built in a lot of supports, like many members qualifying for $0 premiums every month to make it easier to have one of these plans.
So is this kind of like the Medicare Advantage plans, but on a different plane, because we're talking about those who qualify for both Medicare and Medicaid? Is that maybe kind of the correlation that people can attach to this?
That's right. These plans bring together the advantages of Medicare Advantage as well as managed Medicaid. And okay. So it brings both of those benefits together.
Okay. So what kind of ways can one of these dual special needs plans make this simpler to navigate, understand, and take advantage of? Give us some examples of the kind of help that one of these plans can offer.
Sure. Well, one of the things that we know many people are facing right now are increasing costs of living, feeling the pinch when they go to the grocery store. And really, those things are really important for your health. As an internal medicine doctor, I can tell you a lot of what keeps somebody healthy is not stuff that necessarily happens in the four walls of a clinic. So we've built that into the way we've designed these plans, with monthly credits that are added onto your ID card, which we call the U card. That you can actually use at the grocery store for healthy foods. You could use at the pharmacy for over-the-counter products like first aid kits, toothpaste. And our members can even use them to help with their utility bills on a monthly basis, whether that's electricity, gas, or access to the internet, which is really critical for more people now to access care in their homes.
Now, those are some ways, and it's interesting you put, I mean, those have health implications, but are not necessarily things that you would immediately consider as health topics. Similarly, along similar lines, preventive care is, we know, an important factor in keeping people well and managing one's overall health, and understand that these plans can help support preventive care, especially for individuals who are getting older.
That's absolutely right. So again, as an internal medicine doctor, I would always emphasize that people should be doing their annual well visits, really doing the preventive care. Right now we're entering cold and flu season. It's a good time to get to the clinic or pharmacy to get your vaccinations. Those are those things that, when we invest in them, we're going to improve our health and be able to keep healthy rather than trying to play catch up. So again, we've built our plans to support that by removing barriers. Again, $0 copays for things like covered prescriptions, annual hearing, vision, annual hearing and vision tests coverage. As well as preventive care, like annual or your mammograms and your colonoscopies covered, $0 copay for your annual wellness visit, and covering many lab tests. And lastly, you know, I mentioned the internet access for virtual medical visits or mental health supports.
So do these plans have an enrollment period similar to Medicare? Because again, we're talking about this right now because we're in that open enrollment period for Medicare. Is that a similar situation with the dual special needs plans?
Absolutely. So right now, the open enrollment period is open. That's open through December 7th.
Okay.
So it's one of the reasons we really are out here trying to raise awareness.
So where do we get more information where folks can kind of dig in? We've kind of scratched the surface on some of the benefits here, yeah. But where can people get more detailed information?
Absolutely. So everything that we just discussed, as well as more information about the plans, their benefits, and ways for folks to figure out if they qualify and to actually apply, can all be found on our website, getdual.com. That's GETDUAL.com. Again, I recommend folks check that out today if they think they might qualify, because the open enrollment period ends December 7th. So this is the time to start learning and act.
Yeah, because that deadline is going to be here before you know it. It's not like things aren't going to get busier from here on out. So now is the time to really start to examine those options. And again, we're talking about the dual special needs plans for eligible Medicare and Medicaid recipients. Dr. Alex Biu is Chief Medical Officer of Government Programs at United Healthcare. Dr. Biu, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
So kind of a light day in the broken news this morning. We don't have any dumb criminals. We don't have any odd or unusual thefts to report this morning, anything like that. No people behaving badly in the broken news this morning. Just some odd and unusual items here in the broken news. Things that'll kind of give you a chuckle, perhaps, that kind of thing. And we begin in Banner Elk, North Carolina, where Jerry Hicks had a really terrific run of luck. Recently, I mean, you know, absent long-term financial planning, you really have to have some very good luck. And that's what Mr. Hicks experienced. Bought what turned out to be $1 million scratch-off lottery ticket with a $20 bill that he found outside of a Speedway convenience store. He's just walking into the store. He sees a $20 bill on the sidewalk outside the convenience store. And so he picked it up. I mean, you know, how do you return it, you know, when you find something like that? I mean, it could belong to anybody, right? So so he took the $20 bill and he said, what the heck? I'll buy a lottery ticket. They actually didn't have the ticket he was looking for, he told the New York North Carolina lottery officials. They didn't actually have the ticket I was looking for, so I bought that one instead. Mr. Hicks, who has been a carpenter for 56 years, ended up hitting the $1 million jackpot from the $20 bill that he found. He said he is using his winnings to retire. He also has some specific plans. We're going to head straight to Golden Corral and eat everything they've got, he said. In a mirror image of Mr. Hicks' money multiplying hack, the government has a way of cutting $1 million in half after choosing the lump sum prize of $600,000. State and federal taxes took his take home total down to $429,007. So you got a little over, little under half of stated grand prize, part of that because he took the lump sum, and then part because Uncle Sam took his cut. But still, that's pretty cool. Gonna go to Golden Corral and eat everything they've got like that, and then I'm gonna retire. Let's see. Elsewhere in the broken news, this from Idaho, David Rush just broke a Guinness World Record by sorting 17.6 ounces of peanut M&Ms by color. apparently, that's all it takes to break a Guinness World Record. It says he broke a world record for sorting peanut M&Ms by successfully separating 17.6 ounces in 57.78 seconds. He was actually trying to reclaim his record with this attempt. He previously held the M&M's sorting record with a time of 1 minute 14 seconds, but someone else broke it by 2 seconds, and so he had to try again because, you know, I know records were made to be broken, but this is one that, I mean, he takes great pride in, and why wouldn't you? Mr. Rush, by the way, currently holds the most concurrent Guinness World Record titles. He had a goal of accomplishing his M&M sorting task in under a minute this time. And fortunately, he was successful. It is an American success story. My journey was filled with hilarious obstacles, like my daughter adding water to my M&Ms and my son making the supplies magically disappear, leading to multiple trips to the store. But I persevered. So thank goodness we have settled the Guinness M&M sorting record controversy and returned the title back to America where it belongs. In other broken news, again, kind of a light day today, not anything, you know, real earth-shattering here. We know that bears are not an animal that you want to tangle with, but you watch these online videos, bears doing the things that bears do, and they have just an incredible personality. It is an animal with an incredible personality, very mischievous and very ornery, and in this case, rather helpful to an Alabama couple whose home security camera caught a bear engaging in a very familiar activity, rolling the trash bin out to the road. Bryce and Brianna Hovind shared footage of a bear outside their house standing upright, putting its paws on the trash bin and then rolling it away from the house, just as a human would do on garbage pickup day. Trash day, just rolled the trash bin right out to the curb. Brianna joked, "Whoever dressed up as a bear and nicely rolled our trash can to the road, thank you." Unfortunately, the bear didn't understand the assignment and eventually laid the bin on its side and began rummaging through the trash, but his heart was in the right place, I guess. Let's see. A couple of other items in the broken news. Now, this is a little unusual, and this is why I included it in the broken news, just because it is so odd. I mean, quite often we have stories of movie memorabilia being auctioned off, and people collect this stuff that was used in movies. You know, some of it ends up in museums if they were, you know, really significant movies and so on. Others, other things end up in private collections of movie fans. But this is a rather unusual movie item being sold. The prosthetic nose that Laurence Olivier wore in the 1955 film Richard III will soon be up for auction. The costume nose. It'll be sold alongside about 350 other props and awards next month. The piece has been featured on both best and worst fake noses in cinema history lists. Mr. Olivier once wrote of the prosthetic, I wanted it to look like the most evil thing there was. The prosthetic nose Sir Laurence Olivier wore in 1955 on the screen, expected to fetch some $2,000. So you have an extra couple grand burning a hole in your pocket. That's what you can use it for. And finally this morning, from the broken news, this from the election, an election-related story, less than a week away. And if the little sticker that you get to verify and tell the world that you voted on Election Day, if that's not enough for you, you can try this. The folks at the National Bobblehead Hall of Fame and Museum are releasing an I Voted bobblehead in time for Election Day. An I Voted bobblehead. It's not a bobblehead person. Basically, it's an I Voted sticker on a spring. The Bobblehead Museum's Phil Sklar says the stickers have become as much a part of Election Day as anything else, and an iconic display of the American election process. And so if you are so inclined, you can order your I Voted bobblehead at the website of the National Bobblehead Hall of Fame and Museum. I don't know how much they're charging for this, but if you are so interested, you can go to their website and check it out. I have not. I voted bobblehead. We will collect anything in this country. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
When local news breaks, you can hear about it on social media at lightning speed. And while getting you the information fast is important, WFIN will always present the story only after verifying with actual sourced facts. This is WFIN News Director Matt Demchek. Trust the voice that's been covering the news in Findlay and Hancock County for more than 80 years. You can depend on us to get the story right every time. On social media, 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and at 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. I know Halloween isn't until tomorrow, but this for those who have already started to transition out of Halloween mode and into Thanksgiving mode. Campbell's 2024 State of the Sides report is out. It is a survey of 5,000 Americans in all 50 states to see which Thanksgiving side dishes are the most popular. And this year, stuffing takes the top spot as America's favorite Thanksgiving side dish, beating out mashed potatoes, which was number one last year. Sweet potatoes took third place. Green bean casserole was fourth, and mac and cheese rounding out the top five. Now, that being said, there were some outliers. In a few states, they went off the board for their favorites. Virginians, for example, love bread. You know, bread and dinner rolls and that kind of thing. The favorite side. South Carolina diners enjoy green veggies. And Wyoming said cranberry sauce was number one. Okay, Thanksgiving isn't Thanksgiving without cranberry sauce. But would you put it number one? That's a bit of a surprise to me. Northeastern states more likely to include Italian dishes in their Thanksgiving spread. And Midwesterners are more likely to add some crunch to their mac and cheese. 56% in the survey prefer eating the sides over the turkey. And 60% of those in the survey said they enjoy cooking the sides more than cooking the turkey. 38% of the respondents in the survey would happily fill their plates with just side dishes, never mind the turkey altogether. Again, this is from Campbell's State of the Sides report. 61% believe, and I thought this was a really interesting stat, 61% believe that passing down family recipes from one generation to the next is what makes the Thanksgiving meal special. And I would have to kind of concur with that. I mean, Thanksgiving, there are certain sides, there are certain things that you have at Thanksgiving that are just family traditions. And maybe they're a little different than anybody else's family, but that really makes Thanksgiving special. And then for young adults, I thought this was interesting. For young adults in particular, 38% are planning to cook seven or more side dishes. Getting back to the side dishes question, seven or more side dishes. 43% are likely to participate in the tradition of Friendsgiving. A meal with friends instead of or in addition to gatherings with family. So, and here it is, seven side dishes. Man, that's going all out right there. Again, now, that being said, I don't know if, you know, the hosts are making all the side dishes. They're doing like a potluck where everybody brings one and they expect to have seven side dishes. But, because I can see that happening, but that's a lot of cooking for Thanksgiving. So if you're looking forward to the Thanksgiving holiday, those are the sides you just cannot go without. Well, okay, you may have heard about this just in time for Halloween. Airbnb has unveiled a Beetlejuice experience where fans can step into the ghoulishly eerie world of the hit movie In the Flesh, so to speak. People have been talking about this, been in the media, so we wanted to find out more about it. We go straight to the source. Allie Killam from Airbnb is here to tell us more about this one-of-a-kind adventure. And I understand, Allie, this is actually a category unto itself. Itself, the icon category. Tell us more about that, first of all, these icon experiences.
Yes, definitely. So earlier this year, Airbnb introduced Icons, which is a collection of experiences that are hosted by the greatest names in pop culture. So okay. Anything from sports to film, music, art, and beyond. And what we wanted to do with Icons is really create these experiences that immerse guests in worlds that they may have only ever imagined or seen on a screen. So for our latest icon, we're really celebrating all things spooky, and as well as the release of Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. So Airbnb, for the first time, will be inviting guests to experience the iconic Dietz residence, just as it appears in the Beetlejuice films, with Delia Dietz herself as your host.
So this definitely would fall into that category of something that maybe we have just only experienced, obviously, in our imagination. So what makes this experience unique? Tell us more about what is involved here.
What I think makes this experience so unique is just the attention to detail and authenticity of the experience. You know, we took a lot of care and thought into making sure every detail felt one-to-one with the film and the home in the film. And, you know, when guests arrive, they'll be greeted by Delia Dietz's lifelong assistant, who will welcome them into the home. And from there, they really are transported into the world of Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. You know, each room is something that is one-to-one recreated from the movie that they'll remember. So everything from the famous attic, which features a one-to-one replica of the model town of Winter River, Connecticut, which is where the movie takes place, which a lot of folks will remember. And all the way to the waiting room for the afterlife. So if you're a brave enough soul to say certain names three times, you might find yourself there.
Anybody who's into Halloween would love it.
Yeah, exactly. It's not just meant to be for super fans of Beetlejuice, the films. It's really for anyone who is looking for a spooky, fun experience. There are definitely lots of experiential elements to the home that will give you that fun, spooky experience that you're looking for around this time of year.
So obviously with Airbnb, there is a stay connected, but it's not a stay at the Beetlejuice Beetlejuice house, right?
Correct. Yes. So we are offering 10 3-hour-long experiences for up to 6 guests each to experience the Beetlejuice home. And, you know, just because there's some, you know, spooky, haunted activity that happens in the house, guests will not be spending the night at the Dietz residence, but they will receive a complimentary one-night stay at a nearby Airbnb in Princeton, New Jersey.
That is not haunted, so... Not haunted.
Correct.
So how do people book this? You can still sign up for this through when?
Yes. So guests who are interested can request to book at airbnb.com/Beetlejuice. Bookings are open now through November 4th.
Okay.
As I mentioned, we're offering the 10 experiences for up to 6 guests each, and it will be $0 per person, so completely free experience. Guests will be selected at random. But to be eligible, booking guests must be 18 years or older, and their accompanying guests must be 13 years or older. And guests are also responsible for their travel to and from Hillsborough Township, New Jersey, which is where the icon is located.
Okay. But they're just going to be selected at random.
Correct. Okay. Yes. We want to make sure it's fair to everyone. So if you request to book during the booking window, you have a chance at experiencing the Beetlejuice Beetlejuice icon.
Very cool. So if you, and by the way, this is going to be the actual experience itself will be next month, right? Well, yeah, because entry is through the 4th. So
yes, exactly. So the experiences themselves will be taking place starting in mid-November through the end of the month. So they'll take place from November 16th through the 27th.
All right. So, and if you survive, you'll have something to be thankful for Thanksgiving. So we'll tie in both of those things. Allie Killam from Airbnb with us this morning with more about the unique Beetlejuice icon experience from Airbnb. Mention again the website where folks can learn more about it and how to sign up if they are so inclined.
Yes. For those interested to learn more or to request a book, you can go to airbnb.com/Beetlejuice now through November 4th.
And by the way, also we'll mention, like you said, there are other icon experiences and so on that are up there from time to time along a similar vein, right? Where do we learn more about those?
Yes. To learn more about icons as a category, you can go to airbnb.com/icons
okay.
and see all of the icons that are coming soon or are available to book now.
All right. Very good. Allie Killam, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. That is goodmornings.net. A quick note, there will be no podcast tomorrow, taking a little extra day off. I mean, it's Halloween tomorrow, so why take the chance? Going to take the day off. Coming up on Friday morning, we'll wrap up the week with a preview of the opening weekend of the high school football playoffs. We have another collection of recipes from Kyra's Kitchen, of course, and overcoming the sleep issues that often come with the twice-yearly time change. So until Friday morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. Catch you back here Friday to finish up the week.